All right, it is 6:33 p.m. Frank is on his phone. So this meeting has come to order. As a reminder to everyone that's present, this meeting is being recorded. For those online, thank you for joining. We have one person online. So first order of business is if you'll please, if you're able to stand, join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic which it stands,
one nation under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please take a seat. Finance officer, please call the roll.
Birch.
Beach.
Present.
Williams.
Here.
Mueller.
Here.
Okay, thank you. We have four voting members present, zero absent, so we have a quorum, and this meeting is now in session. First order of business is review and approve the agenda. If any changes, please make those.
I make a motion we approve the agenda as is.
Second.
So Cheryl made the motion to approve the agenda as written. Steve has seconded. Any other comments or items to address the agenda? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. So the agenda passes as written. Monthly consent items. The first item up is the approval of the minutes from the September 4th, 2025 regular meeting.
Make a motion we approve the minutes of meeting.
Second.
Okay, so Larry's made the motion to accept the minutes of the September 4th, 2025 regular meeting. As published, Steve has seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 And those opposed, nay. Minutes are accepted. The next item are the claims.
Page 3.
Okay, I've got a couple.
Number 9.
That was a couple of camera calls for the water and sewer line. To have them camera to make sure that there's no blockage or to see what was going on. It's creating an issue. There were two calls.
Fair Essence runs a camera down the sewer lines and inspects them.
Oh, okay. Then 22.
That was out at the airport when Dunnick hit a power line and then also kind of troubleshooting concerning the power. So that's part of the airport project. So that'll kind of get absorbed into that. Okay. It'll be considered a reimbursable cost to us.
Then $1,900 for a water heater 31.
For this building, yes. As you replaced it, it was sprung a leak.
And 48?
Oh gosh, they were parts for maybe the loader. I can't remember right off the top of my head. If I didn't grab the.
They were for the payloader.
Payloader, I'm thinking, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I make a motion to approve the claims as presented.
Second.
Okay, Myers made the motion to accept the claim as written. Seconded. Any discussion or questions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And those opposed, nay. So the claims are accepted. And the next item up is the finance officer's report. Temper.
And just as a heads up, we'll probably, well, we're going to see how this goes, but we may be asking for a resolution to move some cash around just to cover the general core and, like, the airport costs until that's moved out. So just heads up, that may be coming.
That
will
be a huge
problem. Well, it kind of depends on how everything goes. So maybe 200,000.
Okay. And I'll make a motion to approve the finance officer's report.
I'll second that. Okay, Steve made the motion to accept the finance officer's report as written. And Larry has seconded. Any other discussion or questions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion passes. Okay, there are no no donations for this month, so the next item is public comment. Public comment is for a time for persons to address the common council on items not listed on the agenda. No actions taken on the matter is placed on the agenda if it does in the future. You have up to 3 minutes to speak. There are no attacks for any comments directed at any council members or employees or individuals. If you would like to speak, please come to the podium, state your name and your residence.
Hi, my name is William F. Paulson, lifelong resident of Springfield, South Dakota, 502 11th Street, 16 to be exact. I just wanted to touch base on something. I've submitted a few letters to the editor, and I'm hoping you guys were reading me loud and clear. And because we can't talk about certain things at a period like now. That's all about to change in about 8 months. One of the beauties about living in a democracy is things change. And in about 8 months, things are going to change again. And so as much as I want to move forward with some things that I've talked about, I've been very public about, I understand that some of these acts here in the future, they're only going to be temporary. And leaderships come and go, and I've seen a lot of them come and go as I've lived here almost 40 years of my entire life. So I guess I'm hoping that when later on in the agenda, when the former Richie Park gets on the agenda, I hope I'm given an opportunity to talk if things are going to go right. So I don't really want to go down that alley, but you know, not in this order of personal, professional, financial, and possibly litigious. Not in that order, and it ain't going to be for everybody. So I look forward to continuing to clean things up and buy up more property. And I don't want to fight. But if you want to fight, it's going to be, I'm hoping that there's a very clear-cut rationale to it, and everybody makes it public. Why? Thank you.
Thanks, Will. Anyone else for public comment? Okay, with that, hearing no more, we will move on to the next item on the agenda. Official correspondence, none was received this month. All right, city reports. We'll go through these relatively quickly. Utilities, we'll talk more about the water treatment plant. They've got a couple, three things that happened this last month trying to get it completed and closed out. They've been working on a number of building permits that we've gotten and approved for a new housing coming into town this fall yet. So quite a bit on that. They've been working some lagoon maintenance, and they did pool winterization, among other things. So that is completed. Streets, go ahead.
Hey, what is it on the lagoon maintenance? Joe had talked to me that he left some information with you. Can we talk about that now or a little bit later on?
I guess I don't really know yet, but we certainly could.
You know, this is what the impression that I got from him is that instead of using the old system of aerating, thank you, the way it is that that hasn't really been updated or nothing has been done, if I remember right, I think he said 30 or 40 years, and that he, maybe I was wrong.
No, that's fine. I was just, sorry, my face is just, it got up on live right now to after this meeting, so.
Okay. And he said something about that he's got a couple solar panel stuff that will do a lot better. And then I asked him about the price that fell off of the tool.
Oh, yeah, it's a solar system, and it's more effective because, you know, newer technologies, obviously.
Right.
And then from the way I'm understanding it, it's less bugs that we have to, because you have to have bugs in order to, for stabilization to themselves up a little bit. So, yeah, they're about 45,000 apiece.
And you'll need what? Two, is that correct?
My question, I have a question on that, and I apologize, you're kind of breaking in and out, so I apologize if something was said. They're solar stirrers, is that what they're called?
Yeah, it's an aeration system, and it utilizes solar power rather than being plugged in, so it has rechargeable batteries. And it basically just floats in the lagoon, and as it moves around, it aerates the lagoon so that the enzymes and the other items that they put in there work better to break up the sewage. We have mechanical systems that do it, but these would just be a continuous thing for most of the year. Not 100% of the year, obviously, but for most of it.
With that type of an expense, is that something we could do one year and then do another year, or is that something that needs to be done both at the same time?
No, it is something, and when Joe and I visited about it, it is a possibility to do one year and one the next. They're not connected. They're two separate.
Okay.
Just potential cost rising in between, like with anything else.
So what we currently, if I'm understanding this right, what we currently have is needing to be replaced eventually at some point in time.
Well, they do maintenance on it. It's just a mechanical system. They have to turn it on to aerate it. This go, once it goes in, it just gets autonomous and just stays there, keeps running, and it helps the whole system work better.
And it floats on the...
It physically floats in the lagoon.
Oh, it just moves like a robot.
Yeah.
Vacuum filter, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So my next question is, because we're going to be looking at the budget later on in the meeting, is that something that we need to discuss, a possibility adding that into the budget for one, or does that look like it can be covered?
At this point, I would say to accept the budget as is, and then we can always look at it a little bit later, especially seeing where funds are, and we can always amend the budget.
Okay.
What condition is our current aeration system in? Does it need a massive amount of water?
Not anything they say on normal maintenance. Okay. But so and the question to them too that they're get back on is we put this in, things start working better. Obviously there's a regular cost that gets up for it. How does that affect that? Potentially bringing that piece down.
This is Carol Hagen. May I speak on this?
I'd rather not, Carol, if we can move ahead.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Okay, any other items on that, the council? Then moving on to back to the streets. See, they're finishing up some summer maintenance, getting going, and then they did go over earlier in September and tore up the 8th Street portion for the water plant. So we've recovered that asphalt for future grinding, and then they will come back and they will assist potentially this week. When I get to that, then of helping to get prepped for the asphalt for the 8th Street as well as. I think right now there's 4 cutouts that will get asphalted with it from previous waterworks. So, that. Okay, next slide. All right, we'll talk more about the closeout and the finishing up of the airport project when we get there. Fuel sales have resumed. There's always a little bit of issue. I think Amanda and Kayla and Don deal with it from time to time as far as how the pumps work and. There's some frustration, but they do work. They do work fine. They just have to follow the instructions. They're right. There is an issue in the terminal building that's been brought up a number of times. I was out there. This time of year, we get a lot of flies in there, so I'll find a solution to try to get those out of there. So, other than that, we'll finish up that project later. But we are resuming activities. We do have people coming and going and starting to sell fuel again. So, you get anything from the library?
No, she said it's been pretty slow. So.
Okay. So, the library ongoing, and they've got their member on board and slowed down since school started. So, okay, next up. Didn't get any report from the fire department this month. They have been on a couple calls. I'm waiting to see what's going on. So, ambulance report. They did get their new power con order. So price is going up as it is with everything.
So kind of going back to that budget amendment, Cheryl, we'll have to do a budget amendment for this, for the power cut, because that was originally, the original plan was to get that in 26. But when Nikki was talking with one of the representatives or whatever with the power cut, they said that there was going to be a significant price increase beginning of November. So decided to go ahead and get the order in so we can lock in that price. Is anything about the grant would be a departmental expense?
Never mind.
And they were out at the PTO fair. They've got a recruiting banner, so they have those efforts ongoing. Next up, please. And again, the wheels never stop turning on the ambulance, so I hate to keep saying that, but it is on the road a lot. Thank you for all those that helped that department out. We have Garrett here, so since this is essentially his first month, we're not going to put him on. But he's been getting some training and getting involved with action and items around here and getting out visible. And it's been good so far. We got some new equipment today again, so getting up to speed. Get out seeing some stuff and we're to continuing that through the fall here. It's transition to spring.
Can I say something? And I have not heard a bad word about you. You're doing a great job. And this is coming from some of your fellow officers. I'm not going to mention names, but they are extremely proud that we have you as an officer. Let your head get big now, but, you know, just telling you what I've been told, because I think it is necessary that you get positive reinforcement when you need it.
Thank you, sir.
So, again, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And I understand that, Joe, you work with Meg and Joe and that bunch. So keep it on up.
Thanks, sir.
Hey, the parks for the pool for the season pass in 23 were sold. Single, 38 families were sold. Again, the pool has been winterized for the season, so a little bit of maintenance. We got a couple extra weekends out of it. Not a whole lot of use, but it still worked out, and it's good to do it. So moving on. Okay. Finance officer.
Okay. So I kind of alluded to the cash situation and potentially moving cash around. So just because working both the budgets, you know, this year, working on the supplemental, which will be coming up under new business, and then obviously looking ahead for 26. So I'm kind of working both years. Policy, the whole harmless indemnification, I did take that off the agenda just because looking back at it, it wasn't necessarily a policy. It's more a portion to put to include on agreements and contracts and that type of thing. So I did pull that part back, but I will still, once I kind of get that hammered out and totally understood on my end, then I will be sure to share that bill as well so you guys are aware. I have started looking at insurance a little bit. I had reached out to the health pool just out of curiosity because we won't be getting our current insurance quotes until next month. But I just kind of wanted to go out and see what was potentially available, and the South Dakota Health Pool is an option. But when I looked at it and kind of it really didn't average out well. I mean, we were still getting a better deal with our current insurance carrier. So we'll just kind of keep that in mind moving forward, too, just to see how they can help. On average, as far as increases, the current one went up at most 3.9%, whereas the health pool in 2020 went up by 9.31%. So, I mean, there's some years that they were a little bit closer, but on the whole, the health pool was more expensive. So, like I said, just aware of that, looking into it just to see what the option is. And then just a reminder that the election stuff, the papers are in there too. Just we don't know much yet. Moving forward, the auditor's office will know more after they have their conference this month as far as like how the state is moving forward and what that looks like for us. But so we'll need to decide on, you know, whether to do even numbered years or odd number of years, if you want to go with the county or still stay separate or even go with the school. So those decisions are coming down. Hopefully no more after this month.
And you were talking about which kind of elections, you know, like what the state and our representative, like the 19th.
Our municipal elections. We don't know when the next election is. Council will have to decide that.
It would be either June or November. So it's just deciding which one you want to, you know, to choose, but then also recognizing that there are pros and cons with each of them. And like I said, there's a little cheat sheet in your packet as far as, like, the information that we know now.
Well, okay. Are we going to talk about that now? I got to move my notes around here.
It's not on the agenda to discuss.
Right.
We know it's coming, and we know we're going to have to do it soon, but the state is taking time to get information out for us to do that.
Are we going to put that then on November's agenda?
That's the plan. Yep. As soon as we find out a little bit more from the county and how they are to proceed.
Okay, because I've been researching that, and I have some viewpoints that I would like to express, but I'll wait till November.
Yeah, we'll have it on as an agenda item because it will have to deal with it. Probably both meetings in December. Probably an ordinance item. So.
Okay.
It would affect our charter.
It doesn't affect the charter.
Yes, because it says whatever the state.
State, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're that part's fine. So.
But let me know of any questions that you have, so then we can kind of put them together.
I'll forward them to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I'll just hit a couple items. We're at 7. The special session for the prison was a couple weeks ago. Of course, they voted in to build a new men's prison in Sioux Falls. Person dormitory, which the dormitory's purpose is to relieve the short-termers that come down here and don't do anything inside of the prison other than take up space and resources away from the actual rehabilitation programs. So that will go on that site off Benson Road. It's actually a pretty good site. It's just a little ways up from the current one. And, a little rougher, so a little more dirt work, but that was a good item there. Most legislators, I will say this, did go inside at least one of the DOC facilities, but not all. And so there were still some that did not go in and see any facility. So that's where some of that came from. Then the rehabilitation task force is already in the process of being formed. That will clearly have some impact, probably down here in the future, since this is the largest facility with the primary mission of rehabilitation, folks that are in those 2, 3, 4, or 5 year periods. Annual conference for the Municipal League was last week. Not a lot there. A lot of that is kind of geared towards a little bit larger communities. So a couple of the ones that I sat through were already working through some things on alcohol and video lottery, and that usually is a headache because there's more acronyms and stuff every time, it seems like. Maybe just learn a little bit more, but that was good. And again, the vendors were there. I didn't spend a whole lot of time visiting them there. Just kind of out there. I did see ours there, so that was good. Did 3 solemnization ceremonies past weekend, so that's $375 to the city. And then municipal sales tax, I wanted to bring this in as we're starting to do budgets and we're looking forward to next year. And we look back. So August of 24, we had about $26,500 in municipal sales tax that got brought in. This year in August, we're up to $28,500, so about $2,000 increase of 7.5%. One of the topics that was at the conference, especially from a lot of the smaller towns, the question is sales tax increasing due to sales, or is it increasing because stuff is costing more? And is that going to go off a cliff? As things get more expensive. So this increase here could just solely be because things are just getting more expensive or quite get sold. And not necessarily meaning there's more being sold, if that makes sense. So something to watch there. And then as the numbers keep coming for the year, we're generally tracking this year to be a little bit more, 2% than last year, which is just a normal cost of living here. But that is one of our revenue sources. Something I don't have on there that I didn't quite get on there at time this morning, but I do want to bring up coming down the pike too. So everybody knows the county has made a couple changes in personnel. And some of the ways they're going to do business. The one that's going to impact us is the emergency management office, and they really haven't talked to us about moving emergency management over to Yankton. They're working that agreement with Yankton County. So, in fact, they haven't talked to any cities that I know of really specifically as far as needs and how that's going to go into that agreement going forward. But we do run a number of things through that office as far as grants and requirements through various agencies. So,
can I give you an update on that?
Sure.
So on Wednesday, Meg came in with a proposal to keep EM in-house and by hiring a fourth deputy and splitting it that way, which was accepted, not approved. But consensus to move forward with that route as long as they can get out of the Yankton County contract, which Yankton County hadn't yet to sign. So.
I don't think they'd
approve. Yeah, both. Both, yeah.
Okay.
You can also read about it in tomorrow's news.
Sure. And just so the council knows, the commission has moved their meetings to Wednesday morning. Right. As far as some other partner reports, the Corps of Engineers did do some spraying for the frag mines to get in. They based out of the airport, didn't do anything in our area, so there were no impacts to the water plant or anything like that. They were mostly up by running water this year's. And then another alibi I have on there, I'm not sure that this got noticed in town, but a couple weeks ago, AT&T FirstNet had called the city. They were going to do some power maintenance on the tower that they own by Apple Tree that the FirstNet impacts our cellular service, but the ambulance has an iPad that's FirstNet and phone and a couple other things. So it was free of charge. They offered it up. I did a request, and they brought in a mobile antenna, which they put over here on the city property for about a week to cover service. As a part of the agreement with FirstNet, we can't actually request that for other things. That brought up with Mike and our AT&T FirstNet rep, who I actually met at the municipal conference, was if you have events in town or something like that, if you have a larger number of people, you can ask, and someone else set it up. Make sure you have cell phone coverage and everything. So I'm starting to think about maybe doing that for 4th of July weekend, see if we can bring it back, set it up. We have more people in town. It's a good exercise for us. It's good for them. They like to get out and do it, and it's no cost. So it's all contained in one truck. They drove it out, put it up by the gravel piles. I think most people probably had no idea it was even there. So I understand one from us. All right, so the water plant, first thing we'll do is pay up number 30 for $165,756.38.
I'll make that motion to approve the FEMA water treatment plant pay. App number 30 for $165,756.38.
Okay, so Steve made the motion to approve the Farmer Water Treatment Plant pay app number 30. Caitlin has seconded. Any other questions or discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed nay. So that pay application is approved. So a couple things there as they're getting very close to the end. Obviously, we've been working off of their water now for about 4 months since April. So that part's working good. There's some punch list items and a couple major things that were remaining. One was the high capacity intake pumps. Two of them that are inside the water plant. So it's as it comes up from the pump house, they come in. They have been a perpetual leak and had some noise coming out of them. It took a little while over the summer, but ultimately in the end, between the our engineers and those folks, they put new pumps in and new motors last week, and so we have pumps that are not leaking and they're running and they're running smooth. So that's that got done as part of the build. A couple of the other ongoing things that are going on out there. There's a change order that was approved a little later in the summer for some drainage, rainwater coming off of the roof that's on the west side. Farmer's been over digging that in. That basically just is coming down from the downspouts that was putting in a way to run it into the storm sewer. And then street paving, again, we're still on the list, probably the end of this week. But we're on, so we'll have asphalt here within the next couple of weeks on those areas. So you see it, they'll be over obviously a day or two ahead of time to do some prep. So far, everything's gone good. There hasn't been traffic on the road, so it hasn't got tore up. So there's additional maintenance needed. So, and then that will be a lot of the primary big stuff to go with that plan. So. But there are still
more. Eric, can you call dispatch and tell them we got their pager check?
Yep. Thank
you. Okay. As far as the airport project, no payoff just yet. They're working on their final punch list items out there. We had a little discussion on getting cleaned up out there. There are some lights that got damaged that are on order getting repaired. The air from some bill was due to and really not entirely sure how it happened, but a line got pulled from one of the hangars, so they had no electricity. That goes way back to the original days. It was surplus World War II stuff. So that got replaced, unfortunately, part of the system, too. So, and then kind of keeping an eye on the grass that they planted. That's kind of dried up, see if it gets started or if they need some water or if that's going to be a spring project again. There are airplanes obviously flying out of there. Talked to a couple more guys in the last couple of days, so. They're enjoying a lot of new pavement. So looking for a way to have an open house and doing it this fall. I think their funnel buyers are looking at doing that to get out there and get it shut off a little bit. So and try the best we can, barring, again, probably the grass, getting the project itself closed out in this fiscal year, so this calendar year. Okay. With that, old business. So this is the second reading of ordinance number 623-2026, budget appropriations. The first reading passed last month. There have been no significant changes. So I'll turn it over to Amanda.
Well, that's about it. There have been no significant changes. There have been no changes, actually. So it's ready for the second hearing.
Okay, so before I open it up, is there any questions or comments from the council first? Okay, hearing none, then since this is an ordinance hearing, I'll open it up to public comment. If you have any questions or any comments about the budget itself on this ordinance, number 623, you can, again, state your name and where you live if you have any comments on it.
This is Carol Hagan. Live at 712 Lakeview Circle Drive. And I know it is not in the budget, but I'll throw this in. If there should be any changes or things proposed to be added to the budget that are not absolutely necessary because something is not working, I'd ask for consideration that the city correct their illegal draining on my property at the corner of 8th and Maple. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Carol. Any other comments, items? Okay, seeing none, then I will close public comment. and take it back to the council for any discussion before moving on to a motion.
I make a motion to approve the second reading of Ordinance 623-26 for budget appropriations as presented.
Okay, so Larry has made the motion. Caitlin has seconded to approve Ordinance 623-2026, Budget Appropriations Second Reading. Is there any additional discussion or comments by the council?
I have one. Was it from the amount that you have for the police department, that's for two people, right?
At this time, it's for one.
Okay. And when we hire the second person, and then what happens?
And then it would be a budget amendment.
Seems awful high for the police department on 421.0. That's the reason why I'm asking. Or is that, or am I looking at the wrong thing?
No, that's the right thing. And I can certainly go back and grab my binder. I apologize, I didn't bring it out here. But if you go back to like the budget notes that I provided to, it goes through and outlines like anything major. Right at the top of my head.
Yeah. The number here, the 159,000, that's not just personnel. That's for the department.
That's all the supplies and materials. That's also including, like, the subscription for, like, Motorola, for the in-car camera, everything. Okay. Everything that's encompassed in that budget. That's not in this document, it's just not itemized out for each. But in the ones that I give you, it is itemized out. So it's got, like, on the top part, it has all the payroll stuff. And then on the bottom, it has everything from publishing to just supplies and maintenance. It's repairs and maintenance, excuse me. And then any equipment and that type of thing that goes in there, too, along with the subscription.
Okay.
Thank you.
So does this budget include possibility of getting what you need with your vehicle? I think we need to look at that.
Sure.
I don't know if somebody addressed this or not. Where in the budget is the water plant?
The water plant?
Employees. Employees.
It's at the bottom when it has, like, the bolded areas. Oh. It has proprietary funds. There's liquor, water, and sewer.
And that's where the employees are in that group there?
Oh, yeah. That's water
that's
is their, kind of funny because it has multiple departments, you know, quote unquote. So you've got like the lines and distribution, you've got the purification, you've got the water plant, you've got administration, and there's one in there that I cannot think of right now that I'm missing. But there's
okay, that's where their wages and is in that group. Okay, that's fine.
Yes.
So, again, the motion's on the table to approve Ordinance 623-2026, Budget Appropriations Second Reading.
I'll approve it.
Are there any further discussions? If not, this being an ordinance, we'll move to a roll call vote. Finance Officer? No, I'm sorry. We're not roll call. We're just a voice vote.
Birch?
Aye.
Beach?
Aye.
Ludens?
Aye.
Mueller.
Aye.
Okay, so we have 4 ayes, 0 nays, so that budget is passed for 2026. Okay. Next item of old business is to proceed with the sale of surplus property. We have a listing here that includes the following items: the ballpark, the old ballpark lights, office desk, two office chairs, metal desk, two metal shelving units, one black swivel chair, and seven gray executive chairs.
Those were the items that were surplus in August and September. The council had appointed the six property owners or the board of appraisal for those items. The ball lights had their own separate one, and then the office desk down for like the office furniture and such had kind of their own group. And so I had gotten those done. You can certainly take a look at these if you'd like, but everything, what, like office furniture, there wasn't anything over, like priced out over $100. So that's under the $2,500, or according to surplus laws, if it's under $2,500, then we can go ahead to sell the surplus property. So same thing with the ball lights. Those were, they are considered non-working, so our highest was also priced out at $100. So on page 25, it has the motion to proceed on selling at a first-come, first-served basis on October 17th. The materials are at the old fire hall currently, so we would have our sale there on the 17th from 1 to 3, and then if there wasn't anything, if there were items that weren't sold, then they would be disposed of at that. I would just need a motion to proceed.
I'll make the motion. Go ahead.
I'll make the motion to proceed to sell this surplus property.
A second?
I'll second it.
Okay, Carol made the motion to approve proceeding of the sale of surplus property. Larry has seconded. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. So that sale is set on October 17th at the old fire hall from 1 to 3 p.m. Items that are not sold, first come, first served, then we'll just simply and salvation thrown out. The desk is torn apart, but the item, most of the items are knocked together, at least the wood ones. And then just as we, before we move on to the next one, just to get everybody kind of up to speed too, there's one coming from the water plants that will come probably next month as the guys have been taking things out. That's a new business. So that's a little bit larger one. There's going to be some big stuff on there. It's going to require some additional dirt busting work. So,
and more of a prison.
Yeah, that one, like I said, that will have a lot more work. And just kind of a alibi then, bringing that up, going back to the water treatment plant, one of the things that's coming up as well is the brownfield asbestos remediation. That's been let by the state, so they will be moving forward with getting that. That's the mastic on most of the tile in there has to get remediated. So we're working with that. And then finalizing the state permit for actually removing the building. Okay. The next item for discussion is abandoned property / nuisance property. Do you have any updates? Okay, so there is no change at this point, as far as I know, so we'll continue moving. I've not heard anything on the Riggs property for sale. So we'll keep going. And the next item will be the zoning ordinance update discussion that we've been working on for about the last 3 months.
Apologize, I did send a late update.
Hold on, give me an alibi, I guess. Let's go back just a second. Is there any discussion from the council on anything abandoned or the nuisance properties or any portion of that in South?
How long do they own this abandoned property and how much longer are we going to keep twiddling our thumbs, or actually, or spinning our wheels?
Good question. Well, as far as the property that Will's here, and do you have the title now? Is it correct?
Yeah.
So that property was declared nuisance by a resolution of the council at least back to 2014.
Okay.
So that's a good question. Go ahead.
Okay. So the Jones property was back in 2014. The Jones property was listed as nuisance property.
Yeah, that's the first.
Is that what I heard?
First time that anything's been found here that was council action that was done to declare portions of the property a nuisance. Yes. That's, and it may have been before that too, but we. Actually found that up.
Yeah.
So the earliest we have found that the Jones property was declared nuisance property was 2014. That's what I heard.
I didn't say that's the earliest that we, that's the earliest that we found documented by council act. Yeah.
Okay. Documented. The earliest that we can find documented. Okay.
So at this point, what is left to do is litigation. And that's not a matter that I'm prepared to discuss in open session.
I didn't hear you. What, Bode, what did you say? I didn't hear you.
So as far as the Jones property is concerned, the only thing left to engage is, and that's not something that I'm prepared to discuss in open session. That's a matter
okay.
For executive session.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other comments or any other discussion back to any abandoned or nuisance properties?
I didn't hear. Did Will say that now he has clear title for the Ritchie property?
Yes.
Did some... Will said he does have a clear title?
Yes.
Okay. So, did I understand that Will did want to discuss and give us an update of what he has plans for that property? Or did I not hear that correctly?
Yes.
Yes.
I would like to hear what he has updates for that property.
Okay.
If somebody backs me on that or would like to hear too.
I'm at the podium, Cheryl.
Okay. Thank you, Will.
Yeah. I got an engineer coming in on Wednesday with Northwestern. We're going to go through the property on foot in the afternoon because, like you said, it was abandoned for quite some time. There's approximately 7 hookups there where the homes used to be back in the day when the town was humming. And we got to look at the roof on the basement house. We're still evaluating whether they're going to renovate that or not come springtime. And just want to let you know we're still working on it. But one thing I wanted to make abundantly clear was when it comes time to messing around with the water and sewer, because I think it's in kind of an odd split in an odd place. And so I sent a correspondence email that didn't make correspondence about asking about sewer line and where the property lines are, because I believe there's pins out there, and I'd like for the city to mark them if you haven't done so. If you did, I don't know. No one's communicated that to me. But the other thing is I've heard some stories in the past about building permits and people having to be monkeyed around with water and sewer. And I just want to be abundantly clear come springtime when we start hooking up to the water and sewer and possibly redoing all that stuff. I don't want any problems from the head of the state. So however you guys want to put that. But that's just what I got. We're going to go through the electrical first and then just kind of hunker down because I got six other properties I'm juggling right now and possibly another one here in about 45 days. So but come springtime, we're going to keep clearing it. The brush will look pretty good through there. And just keep chugging along and make things look good. That's all I got, Cheryl. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other comments, discussion? Right. Okay. Anything else, Cheryl?
Not at this time. I do have some questions, but not at this time. In the future.
Okay.
And Cheryl, if you want, you can Google Paulson Park. That's my phone number. You guys can call or text me anytime you want, 24/7.
Okay, thank you.
You said you had sent correspondence about, the property lines. Was that to here or to the guys? Or?
Right there. Yep. Asking about the pens that I was after an interaction that he and I had, I don't know, maybe a month ago. And it was, yeah, I was just asking him about the pens, where the property line is at and everything. It's kind of confusing where the trees are, you know. But, yeah.
We can let the guys know and they can do a rough. It's not obviously they're not surveyors, but they can do kind of a rough estimate of where those pins are.
Yeah, they've done it in the past. So,
well, I think that is something that we need, and I don't know, but I would think we would want that just as a investor would want to have that surveyed, but that's just my opinion.
Sure, and the same thing Wellhead does to everybody else that's permitted for anything to do with the building is obviously it's the owner's responsibility to find their property line. In that area, city has had it surveyed and portioned, so they should all be there already. The tree line was surveyed along with the alley about 5 years ago, I think.
Is that what that little green thing is that's kind of coming up there with a knob on it?
Potentially, and then because Bruce also had his survey not too long ago, and that's where we found where the alley was at.
Yeah.
So those markers are in there as well.
And that property, I don't have my map in front of me. That is highway commercial property zoned, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Anything else, Cheryl?
No, I'm good. Thank you very much.
Okay. For the zoning ordinance update, I'll turn it back over to Bo. I'm sorry to cut you off.
I'm going
to have a discussion there.
Yeah, I apologize. I did send a late email with changes that were discussed at the last meeting. Touch on a couple of items. The 523.123 highway commercial accessory use. There was some discussion on whether there would be a new definition to primary use or a new zone created for the purpose of
and shed. However, yes, we want to permit, and I'm not sure if that was resolved to a point where it's ready to be tracked. So I guess I'd leave that open for discussion. And then there was also a question on twin homes and how setbacks work. And in most of the places that I'm coming up with examples for how other towns do it, they actually have created a new zone specifically for twin homes that deal differently with setbacks for the shared home. Basically, just say on where there is a party wall, there is no setback requirement. So that's, yeah.
So the fourplex up by me, how is that zone?
That's a the district, isn't it? Yeah, based on the district. And they rent those. They don't sell them. They rent them. Is that the difference, too?
Yeah, be considered an apartment for one. And
okay.
When he's talking about twin homes, we're talking about like a duplex where you can, you know, have a share mall, but you can sell both of them and not for rental. Because the issue there is that in the zoning, in our current building ordinance, says you have to have a setback for your home. Well, you can't really do a duplex if you can't have a 6-foot setback on the next property. So we can't really do that currently, and that is a popular trend.
And I'm not sure if there was any pressing need for that. If there's been development that is interested in doing that, if it's something you'd like to include, then I feel the best way to do that is to create a new zoning classification, new district.
So is that if we did a building classification and say like in R3 or an R2, you can do that, but not in like in an R1?
Yeah,
like that?
It would be instead of the R2 or R3. It would be a whole new district.
Okay.
For townhouses, twin homes.
Okay, so then what you're telling me is if I wanted to build a twin home in a highway commercial area, I could not do that.
You could not do that without rezoning that property.
So you'd have to rezone all of the highway commercial to allow them to put in twin homes because you could not do selective zoning, correct?
Yeah, spot zoning is prohibited. The difference here is it would necessarily be multiple parcels because if you're going to do a townhouse and you want to have them sold separately, you either need one really, really big piece of property that can then be developed into separate parcels. Once that's replatted, then it's not necessarily spot zoning any longer because you have separate parcels.
Okay.
So
I think I follow you.
If I'm making sense, it's not necessarily spot zoning if you're going to have two or more properties that are affected for the purpose of creating townhouses.
Okay.
It'd be a different zoning district.
Okay. I think I kind of follow what you're saying.
So an example would be like the Development Corporation property on the north side of town where there's a significant amount that's, you know, it's not flatted or anything right now. It's just one big piece. They wanted to do something like duplexes for sale. We currently don't have a zoning category to do that. They wanted to do that instead of individual homes.
Now, is that something then if we had a person who wanted to do that, then they come to the city council and we request that block or that half a block in order to do that? Or do we need to do that up front?
Well, no, that's always a topic. It's only possible. But we have to decide, like I said, spot zoning is not legal, so it's not necessarily, hey, I own these two lots, and so I want to do this and split it down the middle, and then these own two lots. Can't need something somewhat larger than that.
But is Cheryl talking about like two different things there, where if you don't have the Twin Home specific zoning already outlined, you have to do that first and then do specific to a property.
Right. You'd have to go through the
rezoning process first.
Well, yes, you'd have to go through a zoning amendment first, which is what we're in the middle of, to create the district, the townhome district, with, you know, hearings, public hearings and two readings and all that fun stuff. And then after that, after the amendments change, then you would have to rezone the particular property.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yes, Cheryl, I think you're thinking further ahead. So as far as
That's what I think I'm doing too.
The zoning ordinance is to create that zoning district so it can be done. And then yes, if somebody has property that fits that, if it's zoned for something else, then they start working with the city to, you know, here's what we want to do. And then do a rezoning, which is, you know, still an ordinance piece, but then there would actually be a zoning category.
Yeah.
So I guess the question in me tonight is, would you like to, in this particular amendment to the zoning ordinance, would you like to include the provision for a twin home townhouse district?
I think we should. Because I think that's the wave of the future is twin homes or townhouses. And I think it is a way that maybe we could get some new housing coming into our community that could entice more people to move to Springfield. That's my thoughts.
So I say townhouse, twin home, although all-encompassing, I think so. Yeah. Because that's a good way to get somebody to develop that doesn't want to be a landlord, but actually have something in it to sell, and then it is a sale item that way. So, because if you just did it for rental, then we're really just kind of talking about an apartment building with outside entrances to every one. So we're
I have talked to a few people who have kind of express some interest. They don't want to rent. They would like to sell, but when you can have somebody share a wall, that does cut down a lot of building expenses for a person that may look into building a twin home. Because you share one wall. So I think we should go put it in there, and I think go on.
No, we're still working on it. So it's still up in discussion. So get the proper definition, stand that in.
Yep. And then as far as did you want to make changes regarding like a man shed or whatever.
We're talking about chouses.
No. This was in for instance, a highway commercial. Can someone have a garage?
Oh, having an accessory building separate. I think we killed that one last
time. No, not even that. Not even that. We were talking about.
No. I disagree with you. We've got 10 that have been built in this town, and I think there could be more in highway commercial eventually. So I don't think that's something you want to rule out. Some towns, what they put in a parking garage, storage garage, something like that. That is a catch-all because, you know, there's some taxpaying money that you have received over the past 40 years on buildings like that. So I don't think that's something you want to completely rule out.
I'm not sure that we're all talking about the same thing.
Well, I think shouses and man caves are, or whatever, she sheds, whatever you want to call them, they are different.
Yeah. So my understanding from the discussion last time was there was a question of whether in a highway commercial district, having a private garage, essentially, where someone could, you know, work on their cars, for instance. And I don't necessarily know that that was, that that is, the discussion was, that is not a primary use for that district. So did it want to add that as a primary use for that district? Or create a new zone where it could be possible?
Okay. So going back to that discussion. So really the area that initiated the discussion was an industrial arts or industrial area that was planted off and sold. We have Booth Miller's building, and now we have Tom Barsh's. That's the kind of building we're talking about, and we have several lots for sale back there. Yet, there really isn't a proper zoning category for that kind of stuff. So it wouldn't be highway commercial. It's clearly not a commercial, but some of these are commercial-sized buildings. So is there almost like the townhomes, is there another subcategory to do that or to create an area like that one that probably is, that's a pretty good use for those lots and would probably get them sold off, and it does keep it in a centralized location versus being spread around town. Because once you open it up, there's not a whole lot of commercial, and those are not commercial buildings, so. I think that's where we're
okay. Yeah. So is it currently zoned industrial?
It's highway commercial, even though it's not highway. It's the only category we really had to catch the storage building that was put up. The other areas, and it's not right. But we don't have anything else to do it because it's not industrial. Definitely not industrial. So right. It's definitely not residential. So it does need something. It does need something to catch that.
So are you looking for another new zone that would include, for instance, private garage purpose? Is that the task at hand? The other option is just to, you know, you could either modify the primary use for what it's currently zoned to add a, you know, the private garage, man cave, whatever. But that would apply to the entirety of the highway commercial. Otherwise, you would need to create a new zone.
Well, that's what I would say. The easiest and the clearest would highway commercial zoning. You can do that because that area up there is already zoned highway commercial. And highway commercial, it's just through town, and it's what, so many lots on either side.
So the issue,
I would think that's the clearest.
The issue that we had with this during this conversation was that area back there where Goose Miller's storage shed and Tom Barsh's shed are, the only thing that we could zone them was highway commercial because it's the only thing that kind of fit, but it really doesn't.
And I understand
they're definitely not on the highway.
I understand that, and that's how some of this has gone through over the years. But I'm saying is I do believe that just zone all, let there be the special amendment or whatever you want to call it, parking garage, whatever, that is okay to put in highway commercial. And that way, a highway commercial, it goes through town following the highway. And that's that. Any area that's in highway commercial, this would be acceptable. And pretty much your highway commercial through town is already utilized.
But highway commercial is only a half a block on either side of the highway. It isn't the full block.
Right. So it's not going to affect a lot of your primary residential areas.
Well, technically that building couldn't be highway commercial.
Yeah, we still have to figure out something for that.
That's what the area side is about.
And isn't that what he's asking, is to change the definition so it can be included? That's the way I'm understanding this.
But then if we put that amendment in there,
yeah, that still doesn't fit like Guthmiller storage building, because it's well outside of that. It's clearly not on the highway. So, and highway commercial is the one that has commercial vehicle storage sheds and storage areas in it, which is what he has. So, adding that definition for that, I think it already has vehicle storage, and it still doesn't. Doing it. Probably try not to get themselves in the suit. I mean, the intent was good, and it's a good building and everything there. It's just, it's not industrial, so it clearly can't be industrial. So,
I think we're going to have to make a new.
Well, and so. I would also caution that when you make a change to a zoning ordinance, anything that is in existence at the time the zoning ordinance is enacted or amended is grandfathered in. So until that use changes or ceases for a period of 12 months, any use after that 12 months then must comply with the ordinance as it's updated. So, so if your highway commercial, if the purpose of your highway commercial zone is to promote commercial enterprise along the highway, then by having private uses allowed in that zone, it might be changing the characteristic of what you're intending to promote with a highway commercial zone.
Would it be possible to advance in that particular area, using that as an example, that a road that goes back in there that ends and comes out as a cul-de-sac, call that a spur off of the highway by definition? Is that a reasonable way to approach it?
I mean, it's already zoned highway commercial apparently by action of the council. So I don't know that it necessarily matters to make the change to the definition. The question is, do you want to allow private garages in the entirety of the highway commercial zone, or do you want to create a new zone that would apply to areas? And maybe even this one to be rezoned to allow for a use like that.
Unfortunately, we're only talking about new structures, because you take a look at an existing business, if somebody comes in and purchases the building and then repurposes it for his house or whatever definition you want to call it, that's something we're not entitled to challenge.
If it requires a building permit, then yes. Yeah, and there's a lot of things that do require building permits approved. A use that is contrary to what the zone indicates is not permitted. So they couldn't get a building permit to turn a convenience store into an apartment if it requires.
That's the catch-all. If they can find a way to deal with their situation without requiring a building permit, they're free to do as they need to.
Well, not necessarily, because you can still go after them for uses that are contrary to the zoning code.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there is a section in the ordinance about certificates of zoning. He probably went away from it a long time ago, but it's something that it's still enforceable on decision. You guys need to nuance what you do it.
Yeah. It's distinctly a cloudy area to be just as light as I can.
Zoning's always there's technical rules for zoning because it touches on customer requirements.
Okay, so it sounds like the way forward, at least for Bo, is number one, keep moving on adding a town home type district into it. And as far as this private garage and the highway commercial thing, there's one of three options. One is no change. Two is to figure out a definition and then change, add to the purpose of the allowance in there, or to come up with a third. Again, like the town home district, some other definition for a district or yes, do that. That could be zoned specifically for those. And then define what those are.
Right.
So there are the three options.
And defining shelves.
That part I think we've already got done. The shelves part is
Yeah,
that's pretty well defined already. That's basically just 51% or more enclosed in the space.
I thought it was something like 728 square feet on the ground floor for a shelf, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't think that's part of what was drafted.
Yeah. That may be a requirement that some other town has come up with based on square footage. But it's also going to be dependent on lot size. Because really, it's whatever is going to fit within the setbacks of that particular lot. If shelves is permitted, then it's going to have to fit in the setbacks. And then the additional requirement of at least 50% or more living space versus garage space. They are.
Okay, we'll take it. We won't recess, but we'll take a stop, pause, Cheryl, while takes a trip.
Excuse me, what?
What did you say? We're not taking a recess, but we're taking a short pause while.
Okay. So then I can put the phone down. You'll holler at me when you guys start up again.
Yes,
I'll put you on the speaker. Okay, bye. Well, not bye, but I'm going to put the phone down, but I'm going to put you on speaker.
Okay, Cheryl, are you there?
Yep, I'm back.
Okay. As far as spouses are concerned, then the definitions that's currently been listed into this update that we're discussing, there are two things, two areas. One is in the definition of what a spouse is. It's a structure that contains a dwelling unit within or attached to an oversized garage, storage space, or personal workshop. Shouses may be constructed using architectural metal or conventional building materials. And then going into R1, single family residential, what currently would be paragraph, subparagraph H, spouses on the additional condition that spouses shall be structurally anchored to a permanent foundation. The ground floor of the spouse shall contain a minimum of 720 square feet of for dwelling purposes, exclusive of the ground floor area above, ground floor area of the workshop garage. Additional dwelling space may be contained within a loft above the workshop garage, so a minimum 720 square feet on the ground floor. And the gross floor area of the spouse, that being the sum of the horizontal areas of all floors of the building, but not including basement or attic areas not intended for living space, shall not be less than 50% residential area in use of the building. So there's really two things. There's a minimum of 720 square feet, and then the second condition is that based on the size, 50% would be residential. So 720 square feet is 24 by 30. So, you know, a decent size. My house is 24 by 32, so we're there. And then anything, so it'd have to have at least that much living space in it, and then 50% of whatever is built would have to be residential.
Okay, what about yardage? Because you don't want something property line to property line back in, you know, 6 feet from the alley and 20 feet from the front and 6 feet from each side, I don't think. Especially in R1.
The setbacks for R1 are not changing.
Yeah, the setbacks don't change.
Yeah, but you still could have a large place 20 feet from the setback in the front and 6 feet from the setback on each side and from the alley. That's a big chunk of cement in an R1 area.
Well, you can do that now. It doesn't matter. You go stick in lumber structure that size now. It doesn't matter. It's not a...
Setbacks. We already have one issue with water drainage with a building, so...
Well, that's in there. I mean, that's something separate, but as far as what you're saying, that's already there. I mean, you meet the setback, so we have some very large houses in town that are, you know, considerable portions of their lot that meet the setback, that regardless of whether it's a multi-bedroom...
Well, you got... My question is, what about drainage for the neighbors?
There's a section in there about impervious surfaces that was previously added as well. It sets some guidelines for how much of the lot can be impervious surface.
We currently do not have that. Hence, the issue of adding buildings to lots and then, after curb and gutter is in, and now we're having stormwater drainage issues because we don't have any. That was not added when we were doing curb and gutter, stormwater drainage to account for runoff. So there is a new section that would come with this that would start accounting for runoff and having to measure it. To try to take care of some of that so that you still have your setback, but then you also have you have to have a drainage plan. A couple other things with houses. You have to have bathroom facilities, including a toilet, sink, and tub or shower. You must have a kitchen with a sink. Must have heating and cooling systems. Must have a separation wall just so you'd have for a garage, or if you had a garage, a house over garage with firewall, need firewall, fire codes, and separate outside entrances to the living area and the storage garage area.
What's our goal in this conversation right
now? Well, the discussion is clearly to make sure that we have definitions, and this is the way we're moving forward, right? You want to take it out or change it? So Shouse is pretty clearly defined in there, and that's a fairly standard thing. So it has two pieces, a minimum square foot plus a minimum percentage of the overall. Okay, Cheryl, anything else?
No. Nope. Is there any way, I guess, because I know we've had so many changes on this policy, and it's a large ordinance anyway, that maybe we could get one nice draft of it when we kind of get this finalized? And I don't want, because we're going to, it costs a lot of money to make, four copies, maybe one that we can check out and review it and really dissect it?
No, that's a good idea, and that's fairly reasonable. I think we'll work with Bo and a little bit after the meeting to come up with a single way of doing that, whether it's – so there's a single version that's floating around, and since it is a draft, it's not necessarily – going to be hung on the public websites.
Right. But just something that, because we throw out every week, we've been throwing out a lot of good information and a lot of new points. And I just think, my hat goes out to you both to keep all this straight, because I sure can't.
Well, and we do have the changes, and I think may not have it in digits, but we'll update it so that everybody can, because there is a change out there that we had last meeting got handed out. So, yeah, you're right. It's a large document.
This is Carol Hagen. Why can't a draft copy be put on the website? Is there some legal requirement that says you can't do that?
There probably isn't a legal requirement. The things that it's not official, obviously, as a draft, and I think if we were to do that, we'd have a working draft in between, and then it is a part of the packet when the packet is published for the meeting.
Can't you revision date it with date and time?
Yeah, we would have to do that, especially when we have multiple people on the council, obviously, and the attorney, the folks that would have input. And there is a solution out there. I guess I don't know exactly what it is, but we would have to understand.
I'm guessing from a public standpoint, I mean, the public has, I mean, this is the ordinance for the public. Why right. not make it available to the public, the draft of what's being considered? As long as you identify it as a draft and identify it with some identification number that says date, time, what version it is, I don't see where there would be a legal problem with that.
It's not a legal issue so much. It's just a issue. We'll figure something out, Carol. We will, one way or another.
Okay,
however, so that it can be posted, but not. But clearly defined as a draft with a number. Yeah, I guess we can have working copies internally with a draft with a number in a format that a locked PDF or something, so somebody can't just go in and
When you do your income taxes online and you're working on them and you, before you finalize it, if you bring up a copy, in the background, they got, you know, with different colored ink, it says draft right on it. Something like that. That way it's easily identifiable as a draft.
Yeah. We'll get something. We'll have a revision number, a draft number.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then I guess
Yeah.
No, you're There's right. Great. We're bringing our technology in for a reason, so. But it may be pretty rough at the beginning, so please be understanding.
Make some kind of
PDF or something, because I guess my concern is to make sure somebody doesn't go pull a copy off and go make changes and repost it on social media or something and say it's different than what everybody else is looking at.
Well, if they do, it will be unofficial. Yeah, you have a way of identifying and marking it, and I think there's enough interest in the community on various points of this that it would be good to get it out for those that want to take a look at it and can have it, and then if necessary, they can talk with their council representatives. I think it would be a great idea. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Carol. We will figure something out. Thanks for being that voice.
Yeah.
Anything else on that? No, that's pretty big, so. But those are the changes.
Okay.
We'll keep working on it. Okay, with that, we'll move on to the new business. The first item there is Personnel Policy Manual Section 3.
Thank you.
So you should have that in front of you, with you.
What policy is this?
It's section 3 for employee classifications. I want to say it's not very long.
Did you have that?
Okay.
Is this 3.0?
Yes.
Well, that
employee classifications?
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
Now, in here, like I said, this is based on the classifications. And at the same time, I had given you the lead ones as well, but only put on the classifications for this meeting for the reason that when you look at, like, 3.1 for the full-time, full-time employee, it has vacation leave, sick leave, and paid time off. Now, when I had originally gotten this, the city had both options because they had originally had vacation and sick as individual banks, and then the newer employees were given paid time off. So I did put that, both of them, in here at this time. However, visiting with some of the employees, I can say I haven't talked to everybody, but who I have heard back from is they would prefer to stay with a vacation slash sick. There are some that are kind of on the fence that it doesn't matter. But going forward, I think just to keep it more clean, it would be better to have one or the other rather than both. So I'm not expecting a motion. I mean, if you want to talk about it and table it, that's perfectly fine. But I do want you to, like I said, I don't want to push anything, but I would just much rather have you guys take a look at it and make sure everybody's on the same page.
So if I understand what you're saying correctly, Amanda, policy 3.0, just the employee classification, that page, go ahead and prove that, but the TP 3.1, we want to wait a little bit. Is that what you're recommending?
We're not approving it by page. It's a policy.
It's by section. Yeah. So at this point, because the full-time employee is considered benefit eligible, just like the part-time employee, so it still has the option of the vacation leave, sick leave, and PTO. So like I said, it's the section as a whole made up of the five pages or what have you. So they said I would recommend, having the discussion. If you feel comfortable voting, you're fine, but I would like to have everybody be on the same page as far as which way to go for the leave, like the sick leave, the vacation leave, or paid time off. And granted, we could do both, but my recommendation would be to pick one or the other.
Well, how much, I guess, they accrue the same, correct? Like, the vacation and sick time, the amount they accrue there would be the same as their paid time.
See, that's a little bit different because paid time off would actually be accrued monthly, whereas vacation is, as it stands now, is you get it on your anniversary of, your first date of employment. Sick leave, and that's according to how long you have been with the city. So it's sectioned out. So.
How is sick leave done?
And sick leave is done per month. There's 4 hours per month that that full-time employees get. Part-time, it's 2 hours that accrue each month. Whereas paid time off, it was, it kind of depended on how many years of service you had. But I want to say, like, the 0 to 10 was 13.33. Or PTO that would have been accrued monthly.
I would like to make a motion to table this at this time because I would like to study this a little further.
Say that louder, please.
I second that motion.
Okay.
Well, how many
parts
do we have? One part-time
employee,
right?
So, there's a motion on the table, or motion on the floor, by Cheryl, seconded by Caitlin, to table the personnel policy manual, Section 3, employee classifications, The table is section three. So
can I, before we hold on that, can I ask one question regarding the paid time off? Can you look and see, instead of the anniversary, like how much can roll over? Because we've had people ask in the past, they roll over their vacation time. And maybe that's one benefit if we look at this. Okay, like in my world where I work, I can roll over 360 hours of PTO every year. Once I get above that, I can have to use it or lose it.
If you look at your page, or not page, excuse me, section 7, and specifically that that one is where it kind of itemizes out the PTO, 3.6. Last one. That on the right-hand side, it has, like, the ceiling.
So, like, here, this is the maximum appeal, and then this would be the maximum payout. So,
and that doesn't...
It's not necessarily a rolling because it's just continuous. You get it every month, but you can only max out, or you max out or you hit your ceiling at, like, from 0 to 10 years, it would be 220 hours. So if you get to 220 hours within that.
Start using it.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
But it's not a matter of rolling it over as we do. Because as of right now, you can, if you like have 80 hours of vacation, you can technically roll over some hours because your max is 120 for vacation. That's the ceiling currently.
Well, let's talk about it more.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so the motion is to table the personnel policy manual, section 3, employee classifications, discussion, any other discussion or comments tabling that action?
I would say just any additions, corrections, edits that you have, send them to me as soon as possible, and then I will implement them, same as I have before, and then I can get them back out to you. So you have them prior to the
meeting. And I will add, we're getting behind here a little bit, and understand that Amanda and Kayla's last week of the month, not a good time for them to be doing this. So please have that in probably by the 20th of the month so that they can actually do that before they have to hit end of month and water bills and payroll and everything else. So let's try to all help them a little bit, so let's not, if we can, please.
Thanks.
Okay. Anything else?
Do we need to vote on that?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other comments?
Sorry.
We'll move to a vote.
Sorry.
So, hearing no other discussion, then all those in favor of tabling this section 3, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Okay, that passes. So section 3, the employee classifications, will be tabled until the next regular meeting. And again, add your items in between. And I would a comment about getting that in by the 20th. Please do the same on like the zoning ordinance and that, so that we can get those together into a usable form for the packets go out, or the agenda goes out. So, okay. Next new item is a moving permit for Dave Luker for a house. He has got his permit is in, approved. They're going to move a house into it's 15th Street, so it's on the very north portion of town. There was a trailer house there that he had demolished, and we'll have a house coming in. It's actually the same kind of a deal that Dan Whalen and Myers are kind of, they're built off-site.
And this 12th Street, the zoning in the 12th Street, does it allow for this house?
Yes.
It's actually on 15th Street.
The 12th Street is the Sioux Falls address of the company that's building the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's actually up on 15th.
Okay. Is that up by I said I don't have my map in front of me. Is that up in that at one time is that mobile park?
Yes, and that is something that I brought up that we do need to address in the future, and he's fine rezoning that to an R1, but right now it's modular, and this is a permitted use. He can move this house into a modular. Yes, I would like to have whole thing rezoned in the future as well.
Okay, so this Western Housing is a modular home?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the permit's done. I mean, it's a slab on grade house. Then he's got a storm room that's actually coming in extra with a garage, so it's a pretty standard thing. So it's all marked off. That part's done. It's the moving permit to bring it in. Potentially, before the next meeting, possibly. So
he said, "Bill." He said, "Last time I talked to him, he said being built this month, and he'd be in right after the 1st of September."
So is this being laid on a foundation?
Yes.
It's on a slab. It's no basement.
Oh, okay.
It's complete zero entry.
Oh, wonderful.
So there's actually two things. One is the moving request itself, and then the second one is waiving of the fee to move the house into town. So those have to be handled separately.
Okay. So what we want to waive the moving permit and then also bring the moving permit in. Is that what you're saying?
So
you're cutting in and out. I'm sorry.
The moving permit has to go first.
Okay.
Well, Steve, let's in the process of making a motion to
approve Dave Luker's moving permit request as presented.
I second that.
So Steve's made the motion to approve Dave Luker's moving permit request as presented. Cheryl has seconded. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 And those opposed, nay. So the permit is approved. And then the second item is a request to waive $50 permit B.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Question though, what's the bond fee?
So that is in regards, and I did attach the ordinances too, so that explains what the bond is.
Yeah.
But because we get a certificate of liability from the moving company, that would cover that if there was like damages, which is why we request the moving company to submit the certificate of liability insurance. So the bond fee would be, like, if there's no insurance, we would require that if there would be, like, damages to the road or something like that. But because they're actually using a moving company that has liability insurance, that's covered. That makes sense.
Well, they don't have to pay the $2,500.
Right.
That's why it's not on the motion right now, but it's in the box. Yeah.
Okay, so the motion on the floor by Steve, seconded by Larry, is to approve Dave Luker's request to waive the $50 moving permit fee as presented. Any other comments or discussion, questions?
No, this fee for the moving, is that just mostly to cover the clerical occupancy?
Yeah, that's in our ordinance. It's a $50 permit fee that does state that the council can waive the fee. It's been traditional for somebody that's either moving new housing into town to waive it because they're bringing in new housing or getting rid of something. So.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the other I'm over there by you.
I'm
going
to be able to that.
We did two of them last.
Yeah. One of them's right down the
roof. And we'll sign it.
Okay, so is there any other discussion or that's so we can move on? Okay. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Okay, so, and then the fee will be zero for that. Okay, just as an update for everybody, that's, as we just said, that's the third moving permit in the last 2 months. I know there's another one coming. So that is four new housing permits and awarded, I guess, or approved four new houses in town this fall yet. So we're doing pretty good. There have been no denials. There is one non-building. So that is very significant that there are one of those actually is already in town. It's just not on foundation work. I think it beat the carpenter. The concrete layers in the town. So there's activity there. All right. Then the next item. The next item is the the next slide, please. It's a surplus water treatment plant inventory items. So you have that in your packets. As I stated with the other one, this one is much, much higher dollar amount, so there's going to be a lot more work in the surplus, but it's for a good cause. As you can see, there are pumps, a generator on there, intake structure. Well, I'll come back to that. Some scrapers, vacuum pump, meter, sludge pump, water tank, or storage tank, and a blower unit. So a couple of highlights on here. Number one, this includes the water treatment plant building and the storage building and the intake structure for demolition. There is a state permitting process for that as well that we're well on top of now that we have the remediation coming for asbestos. So those are big dollar items that obviously we don't get a return on, but their demolition cost is included in the water treatment plant project. And then the other big item that's down there is that CO2 storage tank that actually sits outside the building. That was a 2016 purchase, so it's less than 10 years old. It was $95,000 of purchase, and they're expecting to get some decent return on that. These are going to have an entirely different appraisal, obviously, than office chairs and desks. So, to get that done so that they can keep moving down the road. The guys are pretty well on cleaning up the inside if they need to get rid of, get stuff out, either, you know, the normal stuff thrown out or moved to a different facility so that the remediation can get to the pile of the environment. So this has been well known that this is going to be coming, so we'll most likely need to get some technical assistance on some of this through some room water or somebody to help us out with getting a good appraisal.
So, Scott, what do we need to do? Do we need to set up a committee?
First, you need to surplus.
Yeah, first to surplus, and then we'll have to come up with a board of appraisers. Again, because of the dollar amounts and the stuff we're talking about, we're going to need to reach out for some technical assistance.
That's what I was.
As well, and then that will probably be the next meeting, having that board
okay.
Approved so that they can with that. It shouldn't be an issue. They'll get the asbestos remediated, you know, quite potentially before the next meeting, but obviously the building won't be coming down. I know they would like to get rid of the intake building, but that's going to not take them a whole ton of time to do that either. So. Yeah, the first stage is to actually declare it surplus.
Well, I make a motion, then we declare these items as surplus.
Second that.
So Cheryl made the motion. Larry seconded to approve the surplus in the water treatment plant building and inventory as presented. Any additional discussion? Again, the building, the physical building itself is a part of the contract for removal. So that part's already taken care of. It's really the other pieces, parts here that go with it.
This may be in, I don't even know if I should ask it or not, but I'm just questioning because if we could get a decent amount of money here, is there something we can earmark that money for, or does it have to be used then for the water plant?
You wouldn't necessarily look at. I don't think you have to necessarily fix it to something in particular, but I'd have to look.
Really, at this point in time, any return we get on any surplus is essentially just going back into the city share of the building, of the new building that we paid.
That's what I was wondering. That's kind of where I'm going. Okay, that's what I want to know.
Which came out of the general fund, but we paid, you know, a significant city share or out of a water fund. So guess to that end, if you're talking about directing it someplace, it could be directed to that account. But for the most part, that's paid. It should just go to general. And there's, you know, we're not going to obviously get $275,000 for the old building. That's really not going to happen. But, you know, if we got $100,000 out of this.
That's a nice chunk.
Probably enough for us, you know, if we needed to do a supplemental, move something in 2026, because we won't see any of this until probably well into 2026, spring of 26, by the time this whole process is done. That's a good question. There's, because there is more money here than there is for $200 for the office chairs. Okay. Any other questions or discussion on it? Okay, in that case, hearing no other discussion, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Okay, so that passes, so those items are now declared surplus. We don't have the Board of Appraisers. That will happen next month.
Okay.
Me too. Take a look.
Okay, so we will need to make a motion and then table it to appoint the Board of Appraisers.
Yeah, I'll make that motion and then table it.
So I'm going to say Steve made the motion, Larry seconded, to table the appointment to the Board of Appraisers for the water treatment plant and inventory. Any other questions on that? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And those opposed, nay. Okay, so that is tabled to the Board of Appraisers. All right, next item is a special malt beverage permit for Norm's for chamber event. That is here at the Springfield Community Center November 1st.
The Halloween
party. Okay, so Caitlin, motion to approve. Second.
Second.
So Caitlin's, Steve was second to motion to approve the special event malt beverage permit. Any other questions or comments? Again, that's here at the community center. Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. That passes. We're getting there. I'm sorry, we're getting there. This month is just disjointed, so let's go. Next slide, please. Okay, first reading of Ordinance 624-2025, Supplemental Budget Appropriation.
It's not your packet. That was a separate sheet that I had home provided. There you go.
Okay, so this, before I had talked before about, excuse me, repeating myself, about the possibility of moving cash, this is going back to the budget, which is basically the outline of how we're going to spend the monies. So this is to amend or to supplement the 25 appropriations ordinance. You'll see at the top there's the source of funding. So the first two, oh, I had the same number for both of them. I'm sorry. The federal IIJA, 015-25 and the federal AIP 016-25. Those are two of the airport grants that were awarded after the fact. So when I had originally created the budget for this year, that wasn't known. So I can't budget for monies that we don't have or that aren't awarded. So that is including that to increase the airport budget by the 210. Excuse me. And then going back up to the source of funding for the police, it's just moving $25,000 from that budget down to like the finance office to cover the increased cost for the audit and the annual report. And then parks needed a little bit of a bump. So that is where that those funds would go. So that is what I am proposing for a supplemental.
I make a motion to approve the first reading of Ordinance 624-.
Hold on a second, because we have to do this in order. So the explanation is completed. The first item is for council discussion on this ordinance, because it is an ordinance. Are there any questions after the explanation? Hearing none, then I'll move to open the floor for public comment on the ordinance. Duly noted, this public has left already, so we'll close that. Hearing no comments. I'm sorry, Carol, I am sorry. The public has not all left.
I was going to say, I think I'm still here.
I apologize. No, thank you for hanging out with us, as always.
No comment on this subject.
But for everybody's purposes, the room has cleared. So, except for our police officer, just diligently hanging in there with us. Carol, do you have any comments on it? Or
no?
No, I think I understand. Oh, I thought you said Cheryl. Sorry, Carol.
Okay. So, hearing no public comments, I will close that portion and reopen it back to the council for final discussion and action on the item.
I'll make a motion to approve the first reading of Ordinance 624-2025, Supplemental Budget Appropriations as presented.
So Steve has made the motion, Caitlin's seconded to approve Ordinance 624-2025, Supplemental Budget Appropriations, first reading. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. That motion is carried, so the first reading has been approved. Again, I'm sorry, I was gone for 2 weeks. We're getting bad at this. We're going to get better for you guys. The next item is a move request for Myers, Gary, and Terry, which is a moving permit for their house to move into their lot. Their building permit has been submitted. That's, I think, all I need to do at this point is sign it. I think everything and every question on there has been answered. So you have that in front of you?
I don't, but it's just a building permit right now for them to move in their house. Is that all of this is?
This is the moving permit, yes.
I make a motion to approve the building permit for Terry Myers.
That building moving.
Excuse me?
Moving permit.
Isn't that what I said?
No.
No, you said building permit.
I'm sorry, moving permit.
One second.
Okay, Cheryl has made the motion, Caitlin second, to approve Gail and Terry Myers' moving permit and requested any other comments or questions. Does everybody know they're going down on 5th Street, 5th and
College.
So when we approve these...
And they are looking to do that, obviously, this fall yet. Yes, Cheryl.
So when we do, I didn't even think about it, because I haven't been up there and looked for a while. So when we approve a moving permit, is there has to be done with so many days? Because I guess my question is there foundation ready for the building to be moved in?
So moving permits don't have an expiration date. You clearly can't put it on there. You know, it's good for 6 months or something, but they don't. And I have been telling the folks to get the moving permit in once we know and we're working the building permit, because it has to be done at a meeting by the council. So
okay.
Not like their permit is in. I had a couple questions they got answered. So it will most likely be signed and approved tomorrow or within a day or two for sure. So
okay.
Theirs is pretty solid. So that being said, without any additional discussion or questions, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. So that passes. And then again, they have requested to waive the move permit.
Make that motion. Second.
Okay, so Steve made the motion, Caitlin second, to approve Gail and Terry Myers' request to waive their $50 moving permit as presented. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay, so that passes. Okay. With that, next slide, I have no other business beyond that. There is an item, we do have an item for legal for executive session that city attorney is going to update those present.
Do you want me to stay on?
Then you can call back on the way.
Make that motion to executive session.
Okay. So Steve's made the motion. Caitlin second to enter into executive session. Those in favor say aye.
Scott, do you need me to stay on the line?
No, there's no action.
Okay.
There's no action already. No. Yeah, so there'll be no action. Just an update. No.
So then I can say goodbye?
It's 8:47 p.m. We are now moving to executive session. And yes, it's, I guess, your choice if you depart. We'll put that in the record in the minutes that you have departed. So.
It's been fun. See ya. Bye-bye.
And I am going to stay on.
Somebody else is leaving. Carol's still on. She's okay. Carol, stop the recording, but.